This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wong Xiaoning. Now, COVID-19 is still on everyone's minds, but today BFM is celebrating World Water Day, and we are focusing on one crucial aspect in the battle against this coronavirus outbreak: access to clean water. So the WHO has stressed that the provision of safe water, sanitation and hygienic conditions is essential in fighting any outbreak.
Yeah, because without it, people won't be able to wash their hands, and just keep clean. That's very important. And as a more extreme example, there are certain people in certain communities where members of family have to still walk very, very long distances to fetch water. So, a lot of time and effort spent to have this essential item.
So for more on the importance of access to water and the challenges of maintaining water supply, we have on the line with us Dr. Xavier Jayakumar. He's the former Minister of Water, Land and Natural Resources and also a consistently authoritative voice on these issues. Thank you very much for joining us this morning, Dr. Xavier. So give us a sense of Malaysians' access to water. What proportion of Malaysian homes don't have access to clean water and sanitation?
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me. 95% of the Malaysian population have clean water to drink. It's about 5% that lack in the supply. And these are pocket areas whereby supply is difficult due to terrain and the nature of the places these rural areas are in. Example I can give you is Kelantan, Sarawak, Sabah. There are still places that don't have fresh drinking water. Whereas about 95% of the population in Malaysia have got clean drinking water facilities that is at present running.
And Dr. Xavier, so what are some of the biggest challenges in maintaining water supply on a national scale then?
Well, I think we must nail this. We must understand that the interdependencies of water and climate change cannot be separated. We have seen the past 2-3 years the adverse effects of climate change, what it has done to our raw water supply. In Malaysia, at present, we are having some states are really having a problem of raw water supply. Perlis, Kedah, for example, now Melaka and Johor are in quite a critical situation in terms of raw water supply. And some states have excess raw water. And so this is the situation at present. And we have, before I left the ministry, we have put a plan in place whereby we will have to read the supply and demand for the next 50 years so that we would have a holistic approach towards the management of water industry in Malaysia. And this water industry is a huge capital incentive industry. People must understand that. In order for your taps to run 24 hours, 365 days a year without any interruption, we have to spend huge amount of capex in order to make sure that this industry runs. And after that, it is the operationals and maintenance costs that is also, the OPEX is also high. So people must understand that in order to get water into your homes, we have to spend. And the states at present are not in a situation to spend, and it is only the federal government that will be able to help states in order to make sure that this industry is running smoothly.
So, Dr. Xavier, would you say that we need a centralized agency then to control water resources, considering that we have a privatized water supply also in different states?
Well, this is a very touchy question. If I say yes, I think we need, it's time that we need a centralized agency in order to make sure that water as an industry and as a resource and a revenue is not held ransom by some states, and the federal government has to come in and say that the authority lies on the federal government to make sure that the rights of the people are looked after. This is something that we really seriously have to look into, and hopefully the states will agree that we will have to have this central agency system that will look into the water industry. But the sensitivities of the different states in Malaysia as we speak. And so this is something that we will have to discuss and overcome.
And Doctor, going back to some of the challenges in maintaining water supply on a national scale, what kind of cost is involved? What are people not aware of?
Okay, just to transfer raw water from one state to another state, I'll give you some examples that took place. We're successfully transferring water from Pahang to Selangor, and that is a cost of few billions of ringgit, which is completely sponsored, spent by the federal government. Now we have states which are planning for the next 20, 30 years, which will have raw water problems if we don't transfer. Examples, states, the relationship between Perak and Penang, where we want to transfer raw water from Perak to Penang, and the discussions were going on. But then again, states impose a lot of restrictions on this. This is where I want to emphasize that it cannot be written in stone that we only sell you raw water or we only sell you treated water. Every different states have got different methods and they have different reasons for doing it. And so we should understand the policy changes that needs to take place. And this is how we can help one another. So the states cannot be selfish. Some of the states have a lot of water and they can easily sell water. And that is an income for the state. And this extra income will also help in mitigating climate change issues in states. And some of the states, we have problems in terms of deforestation and excessive use of natural resources that has an effect on climate change. So these are things that we have to discuss. But, you know, Malaysia is a blessed country in terms of natural resources. At present, we use about 95% of the industry uses only surface water. We have another 5 trillion over liters of MLD of water underground, which we have never touched. So only Kelantan uses underground water. And Kelantan's use of underground water now has to come to a stop because they have not regularized it in the sense that they have not looked at the recharge and they have only extracted the water to a certain extent. And this will lead to salt water intrusion and you'll have a problem later. So when I was in the ministry, this was being studied and we were looking at how we will align Malaysia into zones whereby the water industry will then be active in these zones in order to make sure that there is a continuous supply of water for the population.
So, Dr. Xavier, you've touched on a few issues that you were looking at while you were in the ministry. What were some projects or initiatives in the works that you were looking forward to seeing through? And what do you think should be prioritised moving forward?
Well, my priorities were concentrated in states that have shortage of raw water. Perlis and Kedah was my priority. And whereby we initiated studies so that we will know where the underground water basins are. And we would identify these areas and then go in and do tube wells to test the volume that we have and which is already there in paper. And we should now go into tapping underground water with the new technologies that there are of building underground dams in order to preserve this water underground. Without disrupting the surface area at all, there are technologies now. And we were in discussion with companies from Holland in order to come in and do this. And we had already a pilot project on paper in the island of Langkawi in order to make sure that they have enough raw water for the next 50 years. And then there was also this project of transferring raw water from Perak to Penang, and we had come to an understanding between both states that this has to be done both for Northern Perak and also for the state of Penang. Penang would need a lot of raw water in the next 10 to 15 years, and we cannot delay these projects now because we need to finish them in the next 5 years, whereby this will not have any disruption to industry, agricultural, and also for domestic water usages. Now, coming to Selangor, Selangor is a very sensitive state, as you are well aware of. At present, we are using about 5,100 MLD per day in Selangor. But the projections are that in 2028, you would need roughly plus minus about 8,000 MLD of water just in Penang state. And if we don't start now to implement new production areas for Selangor and Balai Persekutuan, we will have problems. And the aging pipes in Selangor is a problem. And the aging pumps and the aging water reserves and the aging water treatment plants is a big problem in Selangor, because they have been running over capacity from the capacity they were built with, and this has put tremendous pressure on this instrument and this instrument. So in Selangor, we would have to really look into the holistic approach. There has to be a complete audit, independent audit to be done on governance as well as finance on IS Selangor. And we have to put this on table and tell the Selangor State Government that this is serious and you'll have to abide by it. But then again, when we don't have a central agency that looks after this, and where we are in the federal government as an advisory role, then, you know, we don't have the powers that actually that's needed in order to impose these regulations on this state.
Right. And thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Xavier. And that was Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, former Minister of Water, Land and Natural Resources, with some very interesting insight into Malaysia's water situation in conjunction with World Water Day. Now, we are heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin, and after that, we'll be having the Breakfast Grill, where Khoo Soo Chuang speaks with Sim Tian Liang, CEO of Kim Lun Corporation Berhad. Be sure to stay tuned after the 8 o'clock news, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.